Turning now to the iPhone article, and I am going to be quoting from, we mentioned it in a previous show, let's recall, it is called China Built iPhone City with Billions in Perks for Apple's Partner, Foxconn. And this is by David Barboza in the New York Times of December 29, 2016. This is a quote from that article. Apple was late to China in a bid to lower costs. Some of the biggest American technology companies began dismantling their domestic manufacturing in the 1980s and moving work overseas, largely to Asia. Not Apple. The company's co-founder, Steven P. Jobs, believed that software and hardware development had to be closely integrated. Finances forced Apple to change course. Apple had to embrace outsourcing, something with which it had only just experimented. After Mr. Jobs returned to the company in 1997, he turned to his new operations chief, Mr. Cook, who had recently joined from Compaq, to figure this out. Under the direction of Mr. Cook, Apple shifted more business to Foxconn, which is a Taiwanese company and Apple's outsourcing partner in China. The Zhenshu government saw the factory as a huge opportunity for development in an area that had been bypassed by China's boom. We, of course, would write this paragraph differently. Officials wanted to rebrand a place derided as a source of migrant laborers and unfairly tarnished as a land of thieves and counterfeiters. City officials lavished money and favorable investment terms on Foxconn. They promised discounted energy and transportation costs, lower social insurance payments, and more than $1.5 billion in grants for the construction of factories and dormitories that could house hundreds of thousands of workers. A state-recruited army. Apple's labor force, the size of a national army, relies heavily on the generosity of the Zhenshu government. As part of its deal with Foxconn, the state recruits, trains, and houses employees. Provincial officials call townships and villages to ask for help finding potential workers. Every city's Department of Labor and Ministry of Human Resources is involved, said Liu Miao, who runs a private recruiting center in Zhenshu. As the economy slows, Beijing has started to shift its development path away from manufacturing and exports and toward innovation and consumption. It wants to empower Chinese brands and foster homegrown technology. To advance its cause, Beijing has started to rethink the investment practices that support overseas companies. In November 2014, China's State Council, the country's cabinet, directed local governments to evaluate and eliminate any subsidies and tax breaks that benefited multinational exports. The threat prompted a pushback, most notably by Foxconn, which, along with other international businesses, fought to keep existing incentives. Since then, Beijing has backed off the issue, but the broad lines are clear. Overseas companies will no longer get the welcome they once received. Apple has agreed to the government's request to store more of its local data on Chinese servers. It must also undergo security audits on new models of the iPhone before gaining approval to sell the product. Beijing also expects American companies to help develop China's own capabilities. Apple is teaming up with UnionPay, a state-backed financial services company. It has invested $1 billion in the Chinese ride-sharing service. Mr. Cook, Apple's chief executive, has also carefully cultivated Apple's image as a big employer, a good corporate citizen, and a major economic contributor. In an interview with Chinese state television last year, Mr. Cook explained how Apple was planting trees in the country, calling the effort a pillar of its environmental strategy, unquote. And we've been reading from China Built iPhone City with Billions in Perks for Apple's Partner Foxconn from the New York Times of December 29, 2016. I think the true story hidden between the lines is discernible here, particularly when we consider them with the archival excerpts I've been including with this section of Proudhon that follow, and Wallerstein's heads up that capitalism is doomed, i.e. the pressure placed on the health and well-being of the Chinese people and Asia generally, in large measure to preserve the illusion of capitalism, has been off the charts enormous.